Hebrews in chapter 4. I'm preaching through the book of Hebrews and loving every word and every verse. It's a powerful book. We've been studying the first part of this book, I believe covering the preeminence of Christ. The writer of Hebrews, again, showing that there's no one to be compared to the Lord Jesus Christ. That He came, that He is our Savior. Here in these last few verses we've been studying, the writer compares Christ to Moses, and that Moses was a great servant, but that Jesus Christ, He is our Savior. He then compares again about entering into God's rest, which again, I believe in my studies, what he's speaking of is that victorious Christian life, the life of peace, the life of a victory that God wants his children to live in. Again, I don't believe the Canaan land is just a picture of heaven, because when we get to heaven, there'll be no giants to face, there'll be no battles, they're already won. Praise God for it. But in this life that we live today, we do face giants, we do face trials, we do face these things. But praise God, greater is He that is in us than he that's in the world. And God has promised victory. And we as believers should be living a life of peace, a life and the rest that God wants us to have. And I believe now the writer goes into where we left off. We finished with chapter 4 and verse number 3 last week. But the writer gets into now what that rest is and how that we can see this rest. And so if you're able to, let's stand as we read the Word of God in respect to the Word of God in Hebrews chapter 4. And we'll start reading in verse number 4 down to verse 13. It says, "For He spake in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise, and God did rest the seventh day from all his works. And in this place again, if they shall enter into my rest, seeing therefore it remaineth that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached entered not in because of unbelief. Again he limited to a certain day, saying in David, today, after so long a time, it is said, today if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. For if Jesus had given them rest, then would he not afterward have spoken of another day? There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. For he that has entered into his rest, he also hath ceased from his own works, as God did from his. Let us labor therefore to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. For the word of God is quick and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do." Father, I pray that, Lord, you'd please bless the message. Lord, I pray you'd be with your word as it is preached. Help me, God, to be hidden. Lord, may your word be lifted up. Father, I pray, Lord, we would just point to the Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, our Savior. Lord, we all see him today. May we all learn from the Holy Spirit today about that rest that you want us to enjoy and to live in every day. And Father, I pray that, Lord, you just please bless your word now. Speak to hearts. I know you will. And in your name I pray, amen. Thank you and be seated. I believe here we're looking at this true rest. What a blessing to be able to say that as a child of God, God has given me rest. Now, again, that's a promise that God wants us to have. We still live in a world full of trials, giants, and sorrows. As we were singing that song, "It Will Be Worth It All," to see many this morning with hearts that are heavy, facing giants of their own, will be able to smile and lift their hand and praise God that it truly will be worth it all when we see Jesus. To know that God is with us in every step. In this world that we live in, it's such a very restless world. The peace that the world offers, and the world tries to offer some sort of peace, but it is always temporary. It is never fulfilling. But aren't you glad that the rest that God gives is permanent and it is fulfilling? We must then see this rest and enter into this rest by just believing God. Say again, I'm not speaking of salvation as much, I believe, as the writer is speaking about that living in this world, that we should have that peace and that rest that we enjoy every day, still facing our giants, still facing our trials, but God is with us every step of the way. He is there to uphold us. He is there to strengthen us, and there's no reason why we cannot live in victory while living in this world through the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we see this rest this morning, and I believe that the writer, or I personally believe it's Paul again, but the writer is pointing us to these types, some types of this rest. And I want us to look at it very quickly. I'm excited about this passage, and I hope you will be too in the next 20 minutes, all right? First of all, you see creation rest considered. You see in verse number 4 and 5, it says, "Therefore he spake in a certain place on the seventh day on this wise, and God did rest the seventh day from all his works. And in this place again, if they shall enter into my rest." God has always wanted to give men this rest. God, of course, is referring to here creation. We believe, and I hope that you agree with this statement, that our God created everything that we have in this world. In a one literal week, in 6 days, he created the world. He spoke it into existence because we have an all-powerful God. I believe he created this world, and on the seventh day, God rested. Now, this was the premise of why Israel would enjoy a Sabbath day. It was a day of rest. It was a day, and I believe personally, again, my personal thoughts is that they would work their lives, and then there would be that rest. We today, we don't observe a Sabbath day. Christ fulfilled the law. Our day is on the first day of the week, on Sunday, when we are here today to celebrate the fact that we serve a risen Savior, that our Lord Jesus Christ, he rose from the grave, he conquered death, sin, and hell, and praise God, he's offered salvation to every one of us who will believe on him. Now, the Jews were looking forward, and I still believe this, and I believe our missionary said the same already this morning. The Jews were saved the same way we are saved, by believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. They believed in what he would do one day upon the cross. We believe in what he has done there upon that cross. But it is through faith that one attains salvation, faith in the fact that Jesus Christ died for our sins. They would spend their life looking forward to that day. We live our lives looking back on that day, but praise God for the day when the Lord Jesus died for our sins. Now, the Jews were to have this day, this Sabbath day, this day of rest. Now, I'm sure, talk about a little intimidating, all right? I'm going to try to explain this with our missionary sitting here, right? But the Jews, they would have their day of rest, but unfortunately, and you can see this in the New Testament, they made that day of rest into a burden. They made it into something that was almost impossible to fulfill. They were not able to enjoy this day of rest. They lived their life afraid. You know, remember when the disciples, they pulled the corn and they began to prepare the corn and they ridiculed and they broke the Sabbath day. The many times the Lord did miracles and he was accused of breaking the Sabbath day and breaking the law. A tailor was not able, he had to put his needle up. And the fact that if someone saw him holding a needle on the Sabbath day, would accuse him and be found guilty of breaking the Sabbath day. There were so many things that they did. They made it a burden, somewhat overbearing. Listen to me, they lost the joy of the rest that should have been there because they made it into a great burden. And I believe here the writer of Hebrews is saying again, aren't you thankful, believer, that God has promised to us this rest? We have this rest. We are able to live and enjoy this rest that God has given to us. But did you know it is easy to take this Christian life that God has given to us, and you can make it a burden? There are many Christians that do that. There may be even some today. You sit there and say, well, I would love to be all sold out for God, but do you know what that means? It's just such a burden. I would have to do this, and I would have to do that, and I would have to do this, and they make serving God into a burden. That's not what God intends. God wants our service to be something that we can enjoy as a believer. There are many out there who have taken, and what happens is this, we add to the Word of God, and then the service becomes a burden. That's what the Jews did. They took the day of rest and they added to it things that were not found in the scriptures, but things that they thought were right and this and that, and it became a great burden to them, to where that day of rest that God intended, they missed all the joy, they missed all the peace, they missed all the rest, because they only saw it as a great burden. Many people will take it. There's people in the past like Simon Stylites who decided he wanted to be spiritual, so he put himself on top of a pole and sat there. That's not what God intends. There have been people in the past who try to even make themselves miserable because they thought that would please God. That's not what God intends. There are people today, you can look at people like maybe the Amish or others, who have taken and added to the Word of God, and because of that, such things as you can't have any types of colors, you know, on your clothing. You know, the Bible doesn't say anything about what color shirt you have on. The Bible doesn't say anything. But you know, there are even Christians or even Baptists today who add to the Word of God, and they make serving God into a great burden. It shouldn't be that way. Now, I know that I have to be real careful here, all right? Because someone could take this and run the other way. But understand this, you know, when you do things because you have entered into His rest and you're just thankful for what God has done for you, and you look at the Word of God as, man, God loves me and I just want to show my love to Him, it becomes easy to serve God. You know, and again, the Word of God does talk about dress. Amen. Amen. One should dress modestly. Amen. One should cover their nakedness. Amen. The Bible does talk about dress. But what we have to do is take what the Word of God says and live what the Word of God says, and not apply man's principles upon it or even our own rationalizing upon things, because if we're not careful, the rest and the joy that God has given to us can become a burden. You have to be careful there with about everything, even salvation. Did you know there's churches, there's Baptist churches who have made even salvation into a great burden. I hate saying that, but it's a fact. People will come, and I'll never forget, there's one person a preacher was visiting the church, and he's preached on salvation, and he preached how that, you know, you need to be saved. And this man walked up to him afterwards and said, "Oh, brother, would you pray for me that I would soon be saved?" And the preacher said, as he should, "I don't need to pray about that. You need to get saved right now." Amen? And he told him, he said, "Well, I can't." He said, "I've been told that I can never be saved until I have enough remorse in my heart." Preacher said, "Well, when is that going to be?" He said, "I've never made it." And he walked away weeping. That's not true salvation preaching. Now, will God convict the heart? Yes. And by the fact that that man was seeking salvation, knew he needed salvation, it's sad that we would try to push things upon people the Word of God doesn't say. And we can make a burden. You can make a burden out of anything. Now, I know we weren't able to run our buses this morning, but your bus route shouldn't be a burden. It should be a joy. Where you serve God should be a joy. We should be careful, because what we can do is we can add to things, and even the Christian life, and I believe the writer, he's spot on here. If we're not careful, just as the Jews did with the Sabbath day, a day that should have been a day of rest, they made it into a day of burden. So we can take our salvation, people teach it that way, people can take serving God and make it difficult, people can take sanctification and make it something that's difficult. My friends, if we'll just take the Word of God, obey the Word of God, we will be able to live in victory and the rest that God wants us to have. You have here, again, creation pictured in that rest. Then you see here in verses 6 through 8, he's going to typify rest with Canaan land. Now, we've already talked about with Moses how they were not able to enter in. We talked about that last Sunday. They were not able to enter in because of their unbelief. They walked up to Kadesh Barnea, should have been able to walk in. God had promised them victory. The spies came back. Joshua and Caleb said, "It's ours. It's right for the picking. God said us to, we can go in and have it, so let's go." But the 10 spies says, "Whoa, we are like grasshoppers to them. They are giants. They'll stomp on us. They're everywhere in multitude. We don't stand a chance." And all the people said, "Oh, it's over. We might as well go back to Egypt." And they didn't enter into rest because of their unbelief. Well, in this case now, in these verses, let's read them again in verse number 6. "Seeing therefore it remaineth that some must enter therein, They to whom it was first preached entered not in because of unbelief. Again he limiteth a certain day, saying, in David, today after so long a time, as is said, today if you hear his voice, harden not your hearts, for if Jesus had given them rest, then would he not afterward have spoken of another day? Did you know, the next generation arose, and they did go into Canaan land. Amen. And they did get some rest. Amen. But not fully what God wanted. Do you remember when they entered in? They made an unwise league with the Gibeonites. They didn't drive out all the Philistines. There were some pockets of people that they should have driven out, but they didn't. And because of their incomplete obedience, they weren't able to enjoy the rest that God has for them. The full rest. Now, they had some. Are you following me? They had some. But they didn't have the full rest. Did the Philistines end up being a pain to them? Oh, yeah. Did the Gibeonites and all that come back to haunt them? Yes. Did those other pockets of people end up causing problems in days ahead? Yes. Now, what was the problem? There was incomplete obedience. When it says there in verse number 8, for if Jesus had given them rest, then we not afterward have spoken of another day. Now, again, it was all in the Lord's hands, and I'm not taking away at all anything. I'm not, understand what I'm saying. The word in the Old Testament, Joshua, would be the same name here, and you can look at it in either way you want to, but the fact that Joshua didn't give them the victory and didn't do exactly everything and lead them in that way, the Lord could not give them, Jesus could not give them their full rest because they didn't obey completely. Again, if our picture is correct in this book of Hebrews, God wants us to live in victory and enjoy the rest of God every day in our life. Say amen. That's what God wants. But a lot of Christians are not able to obtain that rest because they will not fully obey God. Now, they do a lot, just like Israel entered into Canaan land. They do a lot. I mean, maybe you say, well, you know, hey, I'm in church. I give an offering. I try to do good to people. But maybe there's an area in your life that God speaks to your heart about that you know you need to get right, but you're holding it back saying, no, I like this. I don't want to yield this to God. And that incomplete obedience, listen to me, it's robbing you of the rest and the peace that God wants you to have. Because you won't fully give your heart to the Lord. That's why, you know, a lot of people don't understand, and a lot of people, they look at, you know, maybe some of the ways that we preach and we live our life based upon the Word of God, and they'll sit there and say, psh, I could never do that. And you know what? Until you come to a point where you totally surrender to God, you never can understand that. My friends, if you'll give every area to God, that rest and that peace will overwhelm you as God wants it to. There's an incomplete obedience. And then it mentions David, and it quotes from Psalm chapter 95. You know, David brought a great time of victory for Israel. Matter of fact, what he handed to his son, Solomon, was probably the greatest time for Israel. But even they didn't enjoy the full rest. You know why? Because remember Solomon? There was all these intermarriages with all these other peoples and brought in their customs, their false gods. Church, God wants us to have and enjoy that rest from God. But when we try to love the world and bring parts of the world into our spiritual life, it will cost us that rest every time. I taught in our Sunday school class this morning. Now, churches today, they try to bring in the world to appease the world, to get the world to come in. That's not what God taught. The church house should not be a place, as the words go, seeker-friendly. Shouldn't be. You know what the church is for? You know what the Bible says? For the edification of the saints. You know what the church is for? The churches should be a place, look at me, that helps us to grow as Christians. You say, well, we need to win the lost. Absolutely. And we are to go and to reach the lost. But when they walk in these doors and churches like it, they should find a place where they can grow, not be entertained, not have their flesh tickled, not to come and find a place that would just, well, oh boy, I can be a sinner and feel comfortable here. That's not ever what God intended. The church house should be a place that pushes God's people to mature and to grow and to learn. You know, and there are going to be times in our lives, there has in mine or will be in yours, when the Holy Spirit shows us things where, hey, it's time to make a decision. Will we grow in the Lord in this area? When we say yes, boy, the peace of God and the rest of God's a wonderful thing. But every time we say no, it costs us. And that's why a lot of Christians become bitter at God, because they said no to God in areas in their life. They get bitter at God and the Lord's church. There has to be number three then. There's a picture of rest there with Calvary. Verse number 9, there remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. For he that has entered into his rest, he also has ceased from his own works, as God did from his. Did you know back in Matthew chapter 11, when the Lord Jesus cried on the cross, "It is finished"? Salvation's work was paid for. When Jesus Christ said, "It's finished," praise God, God was able to rest in the Lord Jesus' work. We ought to be thankful that salvation was paid for. Our salvation is not, and our rest is not in a day. It's in a person, the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord has given us this rest. That's why he tells us, look real quick in Matthew chapter number 11. Look here real quick with me. In Matthew chapter number 11, familiar verse, Matthew 11 and verse number 28. Matthew chapter 11 and verse number 28, Jesus says these words, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you what? Rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." Did you know we as Christians, praise God, when Jesus Christ died upon that cross, our salvation was paid for. Now we as believers, we can learn of this rest as we take his yoke upon us. And guess what you will find as you begin serving God and taking that yoke upon you? You know what you'll find? That it is light. You know what you'll find? That the heavy load you carried has been removed. You know what you will find as you begin to serve God? Simple word, ready? Rest. Our standing was paid for on the cross. Amen? But our state, and I'm not talking about, we all know this, once you're saved, you're always saved. Amen? But our state, that enjoying God's rest, you know, you as a believer and I as a believer, we can lose that peace. We can lose that rest. That's why, back in our text, it says in Hebrews chapter number 4, there in verse number 10, For he that has entered into his rest, he also has ceased from his own works, as God did from his. Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest. You know, there was a missionary in Africa. He was driving down his pickup and down the road, and there was this native there carrying a very heavy load on his back, all bent over, trying to step by step. It was so heavy. The missionary pulled over, said, "Hey, do you want to ride?" And the man nodded yes, hopped in the back of his truck, and missionary started driving down the road. And as he's driving, he looked in the rearview mirror, and he looked back, and there's that native standing there in the back of his truck with that weight on his shoulders, leaned over, trying to keep balance. He stopped the car, and he turned around. He said, "Sir," he said, "why don't you take that off and lay it in the back of the truck?" The native said, well, I wasn't sure if the truck could handle me and the load. There's a lot of Christians who try to serve God. They're so heavy burdened and they feel so overwhelmed. God can handle that. Give it to the Lord today. Let Him give you rest. Let Him give you that rest. You say, but it says to take His yoke upon me, and then I'll find this rest. Absolutely. You know where you'll find the most rest? Remember when Israel crossed into Canaan land? There were battles. But as long as they did what was right, there was victory. As believers today, they will face what we may, but there is victory. As long as you do what God has told you to do, you'll find that rest. I'll give you a great illustration. Made up story here, all right? I shared it with my wife this week as we were driving down the road. Let's just pretend for a moment, all right? Let's pretend Brother Davis over there, he was out deep sea fishing. You would enjoy that, right? He's deep sea fishing. Big old storm, and he's out in the middle of nowhere. Boat turns over. He's sitting there holding on to an oar floating down there, and he spends a week drifting down through there. He's getting weak. If he don't find help soon, he's going to die. All of a sudden, here comes a big old nice liner, man, big engines. There's Brother Ben Souza hanging over the edge, right? He looks down. They lower down a rope. Say, hey, come on up. Brother Davis grabs on that rope. They pull him up out of the water. And when his feet stand there in that boat, he's saved. That's wonderful. Aren't you thankful for the day when the Lord reached down and pulled you out?
Amen.
You got saved. Well, let's say, you know, there's... on this boat, it's one of them trial runs that Brother Souza likes to go on, right? And they're having, you know, some people are sick, and they walk up to him and say, boy, Brother Shane, we're glad you're safe, man. You know, we have some needs, though. Could you help in the kitchen? We really could use some help. We're really short-handed. Now, is Brother Davis, is he saved from his peril? Yes. Is Brother Souza going to throw him overboard if he doesn't help? No. But let's say Brother Davis sits there and says, thanks for saving me out of the water, but you know what? I'm just not really in the mood to help out. He starts walking around the boat. Will he enjoy the rest while being saved? Matter of fact, you know what he'll feel like? You know what I feel like as he's walking down through there, as everyone else is busy serving and working? I feel like a lot of Christians do that won't give themselves totally to God when they're around people that are giving themselves totally to God. Well, Brother Davis, soon, if he doesn't start getting busy working as he should, you know what he'll start saying? All these people, they're all staring at me. Feel so out of place. Everybody watching, did you see how they looked at me? They're so judgmental about me. They don't know me. Right? And the problem isn't people. The problem is someone is not laboring into that rest. When we realize, you know what he should do if he's been pulled out of that water? If I can help, I'd be glad to help. And that's the way we as Christians should be with the Lord. Now you say, well, you know what, fine. I'll just get busy. I'll just do this or that. And there's some people who say, you know, they'll take it the other side. I mean, I just want rest. I'll just try to hop in a church and then, you know, they'll come and they'll say, here's a good church. I'll go in there and I'm just trying to find rest. So I'll just put something in an offering plate. I'll sit there through services. And they still don't find rest. They may be doing good things, but they're not finding rest. And that's what the next few verses talk about. It's the Word of God that is a standard. Aren't you thankful for that book that you have in your hand?
Amen.
It is sharper than a two-edged sword. That book right there knows your motives. That book right there knows your heart. that book right there, you can fool everybody. But anytime you're confronted with that book, it tells you what you are. And then the next verse, it says, all things are open and naked unto him. The Lord Jesus Christ, I read that verse this week and I was studying that verse. The Lord knows who we are. Look at me. We're not hiding anything from God. There is nothing. You may sit in the pew today and be able to put a smile on your face, and you'll be able to shake someone's hand and say, yeah, it's good to see you, but there may be something down deep in your heart you know isn't right. You're so overwhelmed. Maybe you're getting bitter at God. Maybe today you're not saved. Maybe you sit there and say, I'm trying to turn over a new leaf. You can turn over all the new leaves you want to and still die and go to hell. You must see your sin for what it is, and in repentance and faith turn to the Lord Jesus Christ, as he is the only way to heaven. See, well, I'm a good person. The Word of God says you're not. So, well, I can handle all things by myself. The Word of God says you can't. You know, God wants us to enter into that rest. And I'll summarize, we'll pray. God wants you and I to have this rest. He wants us to enjoy this rest. But we can be like the Jews and make this rest a burden by adding to it and making it more than what the Word of God says. God wants us to have this rest, but we may not be able to fully enjoy it because just like Israel and Canaan, there isn't complete obedience. And we're being foolish and trying to love the world and get along with the world too much. What we need to do is look at Calvary's rest and thank God that it's all been paid for. Our salvation is complete. And what do, knowing that fact in the love of God? We labor. And trust me, what the Word of God says. As you serve him, you find this rest. As you serve him with a heart of love and gratitude, you find this rest. If you're not saved today, Christ Jesus wants to save your soul. What he did on Calvary covered it all. But you must, in faith and repentance, believe on him. If you are saved, real simple question today, are you living and enjoying the rest of God? He wants you to.